gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. Wow, what are the chances Tracy Lord's on the big show today and oral arguments today at the Supreme Court?
Oh, stop it.
For Prop 8, it's a big day. Listen, people, everybody look alive. It's a big day
in American
equality in the USA. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, my God, Jackie Schechter's shirt makes her eyes look amazing. Sorry, I was momentarily startled. All right, so we have a big show. We have Charlie Pierce, as usual, and at the bottom of the hour, we have Tracy Lords, who we were saying at the top.
At the bottom?
Stop it, Jim. Get it all out of your system now. We're talking to her in a...
She has a new song, for God's sake.
Yes, yes. But she...
Take it from the top.
Thank you. She was... she's been on TV a lot, commenting. And again, you know what's funny? She talks about the bias against her talking about issues, because you pitched her, and I was like,
Tracy
the porn
Lords?
Star?
Yeah.
And... She was raped in Steubenville, Ohio, and she
as
that
a
was
teenager,
in, right, and that
right.
was in her book that it, you know, she talks about her whole life path being affected that way. And anyway, so she's going to talk about this the Steubenville rape case.
Yeah. I'm going to say it takes some guts to come out and speak so publicly about this.
Yeah.
I mean, especially given her history and the inherent bias that comes along with it.
She talks about being labeled a slut after it happened, and just in a lot of the same. I mean, the story's kind of incredible. She was talking about telling her mother about it, and her mother said, "Me too."
I read that.
I was raped in Steubenville as well. Yes. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, well, we should ask her. I mean, I think that there's probably a culture they were talking about, culture of...
Right.
of
what is going on in Steubenville?
Is it
unique?
I was going to say, it's probably a lot of small towns around the country where there's this celebrated culture of athletes that are then protected should they do something wrong.
Yeah.
Not necessarily rape. I think that's a huge assumption, but... if there's some sort of bad behavior that's protected on behalf of the football team or on behalf of the basketball team or, you know.
Because they don't want to give the team a disadvantage.
Because they revere athletics in that way.
Yeah. Well, there's been some of that, hasn't there? We were on vacation, obviously, last week when all this came out. But hasn't there been some of that, like the people rallying to defend the football players?
That was the big
problem. God forbid we hurt the football team. Right?
Well, that was a big problem at CNN. In the courtroom, there was Candy Crowley was in the newsroom and Poppy Harlow was in the courtroom.
Yes.
And her remarks were... totally sympathetic to the young men who were convicted, saying their lives are ruined.
Well,
and they
the
were
girl's been
so
threatened on Facebook and
she's
all that.
She's been threatened by other girls on social media.
But Poppy Harlow did take exception to people saying that she was biased towards the guys. She took.
How could she be if you heard what she
said? I heard what she said, but she said, "How can you think that I was biased towards the men? I'm fair. I'm a fair reporter." I'm like. Not with that report, you weren't.
No, not when you come out and say their lives are ruined,
right.
And that they're, you know, they ruin their own lives
without barely mentioning the victim in the case.
And there were several news organizations that accidentally published her. I don't think it was intentional, but they published her name.
Yeah, but I mean, Jim, we talked about all this with the Penn State, a totally different scandal, but just the.
Protect the athletic.
Football is like a religion in this country, and it's just, God forbid. I mean, it really
is. And the
incredible.
Athletic departments are more important than the academic things.
Well, right, because the athletic departments are an easier way to bring notoriety, and money on the school.
Yeah, but
in a small town.
Tracy was really compelling. She did Piers Morgan. She's done some other stuff, but just talking about how the guys were carrying her around like a pig. You know, I mean, to party, like she was, I mean, it's just...
With the girl who was raped.
Yes,
it's
not Tracy Lords. Thank you for your journalistic acumen.
The clarity was necessary there.
Tracy Lords is being carried around. No! All right. Thank you for that, Jackie Schechter. All right. So a lot to get to. It is a huge day.
Huge.
Jim, huge.
Huge. Huge.
Huge at the Supreme Court. So we are going to, we'll talk to Charlie Pierce and others about that. Jim, speaking of which, it's time for, there's a theme to today's guest quote. Who said that's what's true, this is regarding, spring. Who said that's what's truly remarkable about this juncture, the aura of inevitability that hovers over it. In an astonishingly brief period of time, this country has experienced a seismic shift in opinion, a profound social and political revolution when it comes to gay and lesbian people. Who said that?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
That was a really good guess for a change, but no.
Well, he's no longer with
Muerta.
Us.
Muerto. So,
Muerto.
Frank Bruni in the New York Times.
He's fabulous.
Piece. Thank you. Marriage and the Supremes. Oh, we should have some Supremes spread over today. How about Stop in the Name of Love? Okay. See, normally I scroll that in a piece of paper and then I gesture at you furiously. I just called an audible, as they say in football.
Stop in the Name of Love?
You know
what?
Who did
what
Stop in the Name of Love at her concert?
Who is that?
Linda Carter.
Oh!
I missed it because I was on vacation.
I was going to say Diana Ross.
No, she slowed it down and she did it. Travis was there with me. She slowed it down and did her own interpretation
of it. I heard she was so great. I'm so sorry I missed it.
Yeah, she was terrific. She was, and you know what? So gracious and so kind. And Mary Hart was there because they've been longtime friends.
Oh, my God. And that's too much perkiness and loveliness in one place.
First of all, the women don't age. They don't
No, they don't.
I don't know what fountain of youth they died in.
Did anybody get a seizure from Mary Hart's voice in the audience?
Stop it. This refers to a story that Mary Hart's voice apparently gave somebody seizures.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she was so beautiful and lovely and even toned. I didn't even notice.
And now, back to the countdown. All right. Thank you for that little interlude, Jackie.
Oh.
Wow. I just really veered off the rail. I got it. Mama's got it.
All
okay.
Right.
The build-up, Jim.
Hmm?
Thanks.
Look alive.
Who said, the build-up to the Supreme Court hearings has demonstrated the breadth of diversity of support for it. There have been amicus briefs signed or proclamations of solidarity issued by dozens of professional athletes and by the American Academy of Pediatrics, by tech giants and accounting firms and retailers and airlines. Somewhere along the way, standing up for gay marriage went from nervy to trendy. It's the Harlem Shake of political engagement. Who said that?
Harvey Weinstein.
No.
Oh, my God, it's such a Shonda.
No.
No?
Okay. Harlem Shake, maybe that would be Charlie Rangel would have been a good guest there.
Charlie Rangel?
Who is from Harlem. Okay.
You know, I have never seen a Harlem Shake video, nor have I ever heard the song. I don't know how I've escaped
that. You've got to be kidding me.
I understand it brings all the boys to the yard. That's what I'm told.
Can everyone keep their arms and legs inside the feature at the same time?
You don't even know what the Harlem Shake is, do you?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Your kid's job is to keep Grandma relevant on this show.
Do you people go home and live under a rock?
I never clicked on those on Facebook.
You just go Google Harlem Shake and then it'll like 18 videos
come up.
You know what?
I prefer to call it
Mesopotamia.
If I have to pull this show, over, seriously.
All right.
Okay. Are we there yet?
Focus.
This is the first hour-long Guess the Quote. Now, with added non-sequiturs. Okay. Jim, who said, fairness, but fairness is where we're heading at least in regard to marriage, which has emerged as the terrain on which Americans are hashing out their feelings about gays and lesbians. The trajectory is undeniable, the trend line is clear, and the choice before the justices is whether to be handmaidens to history or whether to sit it out. Who said that?
Marcus Bachman.
Oh, no, that was a good guess as well. No. Frank Bruni in the New York Times, Marriage and the Supremes, who should, frankly, they should stop in the name of love, shouldn't they? Don't you think? Come here, Jackie. All right, you folks in Radio Land are missing all the choreography.
Good, because it's not very well choreographed.
No. And the Pips.
You didn't practice this beforehand,
like,
did you?
We're like Pip rejects.
Was that your Harlem Shake video? What was that?
It was the lame-ass white girl dance.
Yeah, it's just the Harlem Shake.
Right. It's not bringing all the boys to the yard.
No.
You know what show does bring all the boys and girls to the yard? Sexy Liberal.
Really?
Hail Queen Segway.
Nice Segway.
Nothing but net on that one. John and Jane in Cleveland. See in Chicago, staff. We'll see you in Chicago making it our third Steph Sexy Liberal show. Columbus and Washington. Steph heads, both of them, John and Jane. I was the old ball guy that you allowed after your permission to grab your ass.
Oh.
You don't really have to ask, John.
You have to narrow it down.
But thank you for your...
Which one?
Right. Which cheek?
No.
Which show? I'm sorry.
No, which old ball guy?
Doesn't matter. By the way, I had permission from my girlfriend. Thank you. We love you, your sense of humor, and your honesty. I'll just go for a hug at the Chicago meet and greet. All right. Well, Jane, don't get all uptight. Go for a second growth. Ain't no thang. Did I just say ain't no thang?
Yeah, you did.
I felt bad about the Harlem Shake thing.
Why?
So I just tried to hip it up.
Oh, my God. You really need to get out more. Really.
I'm the Molly Shannon character now. I'm trying to be the hip mom.
50, and I can kick.
You're thinking Kath and Kim, aren't you?
Who knows what I'm thinking?
You're thinking Kath and Kim.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Yes.
Who?
It was a sitcom on
Hip
NBC.
Hip Mom, also played by Amy Poehler in what movie? What movie am I thinking of?
Mean Girls?
Probably.
Dr. Strangelove.
Right. when, right before she takes the rat mask off.
Okay. Wow, this is going to be a completely non sequitur show today, isn't it?
Right.
Jeez.
No. What?
It's a non sequitur, you see.
Okay.
Smurfette.
What?
All right. Jeff. What? Who is Jeff Cirillo, who is one of the Prop 8. He's our buddy. They live right here in Burbank.
That's right.
He's my buddy, my pal. Jeff and his partner are one of the proponents in the Prop 8 case. Here he is yesterday.
The term marriage is important. It has global recognition. No one celebrates a domestic partnership versary. They celebrate an anniversary of marriage.
Yeah, that's clunky. You can't even add versary to that.
No. Domestic partnership versary.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sandy Steer, also a big name dropper, also close personal friends. She and her lovely wife, Chris.
They've eaten at your house.
Right?
I don't see how our getting married would impact anybody else's marriage negatively in any way.
And having had several meals with them, they are the oldest, most boring married couple ever. Delightful, delightful. Just kids, the whole nine yards.
So are Paul and Jeff.
I know. All right.
I think straight people are doing a good job ruining marriage all by themselves.
Right?
It's true.
Nice job,
I've
people.
Done it twice. Well, still in the same house.
How's it going? You getting better at it?
I think saying on radio that you're ruining it currently is not going to help.
No, it's not going to.
Janiqua sleeps in.
Doesn't matter. She won't hear this.
Well, yeah, you've been married twice while the rest of us have been married nuns.
Yes.
Nuns. Yeah.
A grand total of zero.
Zero.
Even
Survey
Travis.
Says yeah. Zero.
Yeah. All right. Jim, you're holding up the fort here for family values.
Yeah, you are.
don't let us down.
The entire show rests on your shoulders.
That's right.
Now, just yesterday, we were having a go to my PC, and we said, Jim, could we peek into your tranquil, happy domestic? Let's just see what that looks like. Oh, we were like little match girls and boys. Like, oh, is that what that looks like, married life?
Wow, just as boring as my life.
Yeah, that was also like really a seamless segue, wasn't it? I can tell you guys are stunned into silence momentarily.
I'm like, wow, she worked a sponsorship in there.
You know what? This ain't my first time at the rodeo. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That's enough of everybody's disastrous personal life. Everybody look alive now.
God.
Got a show to do.
We went from marriage into the Lonely Hearts Club into...
Yeah,
I am the only one that has no room to talk about anything. Every time I try to give you advice, you're like, get back.
Yes, it's up. You have no room to talk.
Zip.
I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine because you're married.
Well, I guess,
allowed to get married.
Whatever, Jim. We have we don't have marriage equality yet, but we have loser equality.
And we're all equals there.
That competition, there's just, I don't know, we're all winners, really. All right.
Segue out of that one, Mama.
Right. Now, let me just climb my way out of this ditch now. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tracy Lord's coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Steubenville rape case. Very, very exciting. Jim, are you ready to be blinded by science?
Sure.
Right, it's science stuff. Science. We believe in science here.
Yes, we do.
And also, it weirdly and magically melds because it involves a jar of hearts.
No, oh, God, this song.
What?
Who do you think you are collecting your jar of
hearts?
Who is this?
No, this is,
Lana Del Rey?
No. It's, Christina Perry.
And you are?
No, this was a big song.
What do I use for science? National Scientific Journal? No, I use Gawker. The headline is, scientists can now grow human noses and parts of hearts in jars.
Oh. Okay.
It's like she's a psychic, whoever wrote this song.
The ice inside your soul. Uh-huh. Collecting your jar of hearts.
Work out your issues on your own time. You and I are going to collide, getting to the same bitterness. Okay. Better party of two. Can we have a table?
I've been here a day and a half, and I have Chris in tears. This is not going well.
I bet
ice inside your soul.
I bet Gary Bauer has a jaw full of hearts.
I should have maybe saved this story. Okay, Gawker writes, why get a kidney on the black market when you can just make one in a jar?
Nice.
Scientists in Europe have made groundbreaking strides in the manufacture of body parts. This is actually exciting science.
Kind of gross, too.
No, it's exciting.
Well, sure.
Bioengineering noses. Been there, done that. Got mine in Chicago. And parts of human hearts. Their research ushers in a new era of building body parts for transplant into human bodies instead of just waiting for a suitable donor.
But
why wait for someone to die or have to kill them and shoot them in Reno just to watch them die to get their kidney?
People don't donate noses. You make them.
Listen, just try and pay attention. Here's the awesome science part. Patients wouldn't be subject to the dangerous process of, you know, getting your... I'm going to say rejection, and I'm sorry. Please don't cry.
I'm fine.
But, you know, your body's rejecting certain organs because the transplants were built with the patient's own cells.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty...
That's pretty awesome. Right.
This is an abnormal brain. This was made in a jar.
You brought me an abnormal brain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was... Oh, we don't have that one?
No, that's the only, line from Young Frankenstein we don't have.
I have an abnormal brain.
Okay.
You know what the doctor said?
Abnormal.
You know what the doctor said during the operation?
It's a candle.
Okay.
All right, that didn't have any connection.
Very carefully. Put the candle back.
All right, didn't have any connection. I just like that line. Okay. Second science stack. We're taking a brief pause in between heavy subjects. Jim, don't be at all alarmed. Vial of deadly virus goes missing from Texas lab.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, I saw that.
For the show Hypochondriac, this is not good news. Officials say a vial containing a virus that can cause a hemorrhagic fever. Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds good.
That's like Ebola.
Right, Ebola. Has gone missing from a research facility in Galveston. Say there's no reason to believe there's a threat to the public.
And Rick Perry said, oops.
Yeah.
I thought it was maple syrup.
Oops.
I stored that at that third apartment. I forget which one it was.
Hemorrhagic fever. Just fondling the
bottle.
You know, the second part of that sentence, there's no reason to believe there's a threat to the public. Yeah, I would think the first part of that sentence would say there is a reason to believe that there is a threat. Yeah, the University of Texas Medical Branch said there was no breach in security. Really? Okay.
Hmm.
And no indication of wrongdoing. Officials suspect the missing vial containing the Guanarito virus.
Just got lost somewhere.
Yeah, was destroyed during the lab's cleaning process. Oh, yeah. Hate when that happens.
What, the house... Keeper knocked it over with a mop?
Yeah, well, just cleaned it up with Pine-Sol.
At least use Lysol.
That gooby gone does everything.
Lysol kills 99.99% of germs.
That's the one germ it doesn't get.
Exactly.
Tracy Lords next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's one way to get the truth out. It's
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Well, Jack, you and Hal talked about this last week. The story broke while we were on vacation, but the Steubenville case is just, it really is, you know, I mean, we've seen a lot of these cases, but this one is just particularly just awful. Yeah. And I was saying, I saw Tracy Lords on television, who is amazingly articulate about all this, and I did not know the connection. I had not read her book that she was raped in Steubenville as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
She has written a song about it, talking about violence against women and the Steubenville rape trial. Let's listen to a little bit.
I've been running with the crazies my whole life. I've been pushing up the daisies. I'm still all right. I've been bullied into silence inside out. I've been promising a diamond to myself. I'm getting thicker in the skin, but my tolerance is weak. I'll pull the trigger and begin so the others can speak. I've got this sign, I've got this tag hanging on me. Wildflowers may be sown, but they're enemies. It's a fire drill.
Wow.
All right.
That's good.
Tracy Lords joins us now. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for coming on with us.
I'm pleased to. I love a woman with a big mouth, and you've got a great one.
Jim, you leave that right there. Now,
I didn't say anything.
Tracy,
you've got some serious fire. I respect that, and I'm happy to be here today.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks for speaking out on this, because this can't be easy. You were saying that this happened because a lot of people had read your book and knew your story, that you grew up in Steubenville and were raped there as a 10-year-old, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not something that is pleasant to talk about. What happened was when the case broke, I kept getting tweets and just different emails and things and social media from both friends and many, many fans. I was quiet about it at first because I was just gathering my thoughts, and I was quite frankly so stunned that it is my hometown. It did happen to me there when I was 10. It also happened to my mother when she was a teenager, and I just, you know, I was trying to figure out what to say and how to say it, because whenever you're a public person, you speak out about anything, as you probably know, people attack you.
Listen, we'll share hate mail sometimes.
Well, exactly. And, yeah. And you know, I'm at a place in my life where I'm really happy. I have a great family. I've got a great career off all that stuff. To go back and revisit this was just like a great big ick. Like, I don't even want to think about this anymore. But, you know, just for that exact reason, you know, it took me a couple of days, and I started talking about it, and the first thing that happened was I tweeted Roseanne Barr, who's been incredibly active, you know, on this front and many fronts, just politically and otherwise,
yeah.
And said, you know what, I was raped in Steubenville, I was born there, I was raped here, and that's how it started, and I did her show, and then it just sort of snowballed, and I felt like, well, as an artist, what else can I do to try to make people aware of this that just don't want to read the paper? Because there are a lot of those people, they don't want to turn the news on. They don't want to. How do you get it out there?
Right.
And I think that when you run out of words, that music is an excellent way to spread the word. And so I wrote Steubenville with Anton Bass and Sylvia Toussaint, my collaborators from Sea to Sun Records. And we put it together, and like within 2 weeks we recorded it, put this video together, and it's up on YouTube. Steubenville is up on YouTube, and it's up on my site, TracyLords.com. And it's not for sale, but you can go and listen to it and watch it for free and share it, and hopefully it'll just make people pay attention.
Well, Tracy, I think it's, you know, and it's interesting. You talk about, as you just said, how hard it is to speak out and the bias against you. And I have to say, when Chris said Tracy Lords, of course you realize people go, the former porn star? But you write so compellingly about how this changed the trajectory of your life forever. When you were 10, and that's what you talk about, the after effects of rape. I mean, for years and years and years, and you realize how even more horrible this is than when you first hear the story, right?
Absolutely. And on that note, I mean, I think that it's been really difficult watching people sympathize with these rapists.
Yeah.
While I can understand that there's a sadness of any child, any young person making a mistake so grand that they've ruined their life, where their sympathy should truly be is with this poor girl. She's the one that's given the life sentence.
Well,
and it goes to exactly what you're saying. I feel that way as well. I've done so much in my career. I mean, I've won awards for acting. I've got a double platinum album. I've done so much. But people still remember that 25-year-old code period. There's a stigma attached to that sort of violence, that sort of, you know, they really put the victim on trial, and it's always that whore, which is really wrong.
Well, you talk about that your birth name was Nora, and you were called Nora Hora your whole childhood after this happened, and you say, my identity as a slut was established. And
that's right.
Again, the sort of the other layer of horror of this thing, right?
I think so. I think that, you know, rape is global. It is absolutely global. It is a sickness that is, it is everywhere. It's in our military. You think about what's going on with this, you know, what happened to this poor woman in India, that one was her crime getting on a bus with a friend, and
Tracy,
she ends up dead. I mean,
I was just going to say, I have a friend who's actually making a film in India right now, and I was reading a statistic that a woman is raped every, I don't even know what it is, 10 minutes or something in India. I mean,
it's crazy. It's crazy. And the one, because speaking of statistics, and, you know, I have a lot of them in the video for Steubenville, and to see them on the cards on the screen, it really blows your mind. One of them is that 54% of people that are raped never report it. I was one of those, because you're so afraid, you know, okay, you know, that person will come back. It's the violence that people, I don't necessarily know that they get how deep that is and how scary that is.
And Tracy, you know, you speak, you know, I think with such empathy about this young girl because you think it's horrible for everyone it happens to. But look at this age of social media now with Facebook and Twitter. She doesn't even know what happened till the next morning when she saw texts and photos. I mean, on Facebook and Twitter, can you imagine? I mean, well, you know, go ahead.
I can imagine, and I know that when rape is a horrible, horrible thing that happens, but when it happens to a child, it's even worse because you don't know what to do with it, and there's that deep level of shame, and to have her picture plastered everywhere, all along when I heard this happening, I kept thinking, where were the parents? You know, I know Piers and I talked about that a lot. It's just the fact that they took her to party, and there were all of these people that could have intervened at any time, and no one did. And interestingly enough, that was one of the, that's why the chorus of my song is, it's a fire drill, mm-hmm. because you're told if you're raped to scream fire, not to scream rape, because if you scream rape, people are so afraid they go the other way, but if you scream fire, they might help you.
You know, I heard so. I haven't seen it yet, Tracy, but have you, you've heard about this PSA where, you know, the guy sees the girl passed out drunk and he says, you know, look what I'm going to do to this girl. And he puts a pillow under her head and a blanket over her and leaves a glass of water there. And,
yeah,
you know, you go, what happened to a society where we go, oh, there's somebody incapacitated. Let's help them. Let's help her.
Yeah,
not, I mean,
exactly.
you describe like how they carried her from party to party like a pig, I think, as you described it, right?
Yeah, it just. It enraged me. It brought tears to my eyes. I just thought, my God, if that were my daughter. And I think more people need to really think like this. If we don't start talking to our kids and tell them, we have to both empower our daughters and teach our sons that, if for no other reason, if you do this, this is wrong. You should not hurt other people. But if you do this, then yeah, guess what? You're not going to get to play football anymore. If that's the only way you can get through them, if they have no moral compass, they can't understand that it's not okay to hurt other people, then give them that. You don't want to ruin your life if you're going to be that selfish. I remember when the verdict came down and the boys were crying and people were like, oh, there's not a dry eye in the courthouse, these poor, poor boys. And I just thought, are you kidding me? They're crying because they got caught with my head. I didn't cry for them. I just thought, my God. And now with the one boy's lawyer, you know, the idiot that was on Piers trying to slut shame me because he had nothing better to say. With him getting up there saying, well, you know, his frontal lobe wasn't fully formed. And you're right, his frontal lobe wasn't fully formed. But at 5 years old, I teach my son that it's not okay to throw sand and you shouldn't hurt anybody. They should know by the time they're in freaking kindergarten that it's a bad idea to urinate on somebody or to leave them passed out in a car and know this is not being a good boy, this is not being a kind human.
Yeah.
It's just a moronic thing. I just...
Tracy,
can't believe that that's the defense.
Is there something, I mean, obviously people are like, what, is there something different about Steubenville? One of the most stunning things about your story is you say when you told your mother, she caught her breath and said, me too. I was raped.
Yeah.
I was raped in Steubenville.
Well, it's a dead town. It is, you know, there's nothing, there, you know, people are mostly out of work. It's very poverty stricken. It is, the only thing they really have is football. It's a very macho sport. It, you know, that kind of a, and I do believe that you don't hear about the chess club, gang raping girls. You just don't.
Well,
it's just, there's a certain kind of like aggression that comes with that. And I think that the livelihood of the town is really resting.
Right. And we were talking about that, how we glorify football in this country.
And professional football player, your job is to hurt people. I mean,
that's
I've heard
right.
of people actually getting bonuses for crippling players on the opposite team.
Tracy, it's Jackie. I think you could speak specifically to this, too. I've mentioned this often, is that I think the nature of pornography now, because it's so prevalent and it's become, I think, increasingly degrading to women, that it somehow shaped the way young men think about sex and women. Do you think that that's changed, or at least the accessibility to pornography through the internet has made it more acceptable in some circles of young men to behave this way towards women?
Well, I do think so, and I think it's a really interesting conversation to have because this is the first generation that is growing up with webcams and the access to the internet and all of that. And what does it do to their minds? I can't help but think that, you know, where pornography has gone you know, today. I mean, we're not talking about little love vignettes here. We're talking about situations of gang rape being depicted. We're talking about, you know, really women being completely degraded. And so if you're a child and you're growing up with this and you're watching it in your bedroom and the woman in the video is saying no, 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 but she really means yes, 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 and then there's a big happy ending in the film, do you think that maybe there's some, okay, yeah, you don't really, it's part of the game, you really want it? I don't know. It's just, it seems like that doesn't help the case. I think that the best thing that we can do as conscious human beings, if you feel like me that it does influence it, then don't buy it. If there was no market for it, then, you know, they wouldn't be making it anymore.
Tracy, you speaking of, you know, I'm a happy clappy type. Speaking of happy endings, my favorite thing I read is it said that you have come to terms with the rape in your underage porn past, launched a reasonably successful Hollywood career, married a wonderful man, and gave birth to the most glorious young boy a mother could ever wish for. That made me cry. Yeah. It really did. That made me cry. Good for you, and thank you for your courage speaking out on this and for not letting people slut shame any of us anymore. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, you too. There she goes. Wow. Tracy Lawrence and the Stupidville.
Stupidville.
And the video.
And we put a video link up on your Facebook page.
That was an excellent question, Jackie Schechner.
Thank you.
Those are her journalistic stripes she's wearing today.
Yes.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. If you have half a brain.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter that promo code Stephanie. All right. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up next. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. A lot of people with thoughts about Tracy Lawrence and the Steubenville case. Chad in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Love you guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank Anonymous for shedding light on the subject there in Steubenville. If it weren't for Anonymous, I probably wouldn't have, you know, found out about that whole rape case. So I wanted to thank them and then also just say that, you know, I have two young boys, one is 4 and one is 10, and I'm raising my boys to make sure that, you know, they have respect for themselves, respect for women, and to just, you know, hopefully they'll become good, productive members of society. I don't know, I just, you know.
Yeah.
I taught my oldest son.
Well, I mean, you know, Tracy brought up a good point, didn't she, Chad? It's, you know, are we at that point where we have to debate whether, whether a young boy thinks it's right or wrong to pee on a girl that's passed out? I mean, really?
Yeah, they should know that at the age of 5, kindergarten, that's wrong. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, good for her for coming out on the show as well, and you know. I thank her as well for coming out as well. So thank you guys. I love the show. And my sons love the beginning of the show. They love singing the song that you guys have on when you guys start the show.
The kids love it.
My kids love you guys all.
Good.
So.
All right. That's somewhat disturbing. Thank you, Chad. Right up until that point, I thought he was a really good parent.
But
the kids love the at least.
Daddy sent something.
Yeah, you're safe from the beginning. But
that's Stephanie Miller, so.
Yes.
I'm walking on sunshine. Wow. I'm walking on sunshine.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm gonna feel good.
Yes. Wow. Okay. All right. And then I would just stop there.
Yeah. Say hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi. How you doing? Okie dokie. Carolyn. Carolyn in Ohio is a teacher. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I wanted to touch on something you mentioned about kids and social media, because we've had two incidents at our high school. I don't want to say where.
Right.
One was a kid threatened a teacher, and that teacher was me, on Twitter. And he is being charged with telecommunications harassment because he's 18.
Wow.
But we also had a student who had a girl performing oral sex on him in one of the school stairwells and took a picture of it and tweeted it. And he's also being, I think, some kind of charged with pandering or something.
Yeah.
But our big problem is what do we have to tell these kids? Why do they think it's okay to take pictures of stuff like this or to say anything they want on these social media sites? They don't get it. And it's a dilemma. We don't know what to say to these kids to get them to understand
Carolyn, besides the obvious horror of it, you go, are our kids even stupider? Because that's evidence. That's the other
you
thing.
Wonder.
Right.
Yeah, you wonder sometimes. And I mean, I was scared when this happened. I had to go to a counselor and talk to a counselor and everything because it frightened me because this had never happened to me before. I mean, I've dealt with punk kids, but this was different, you know. It was horrible.
Yeah, what adds another dimension to all of this stuff that you're right is just, you know, makes it even more disturbing, I guess. But, well, thanks for sharing that, Carolyn. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Chris, what do I say? Source of all evil?
Facebook.
Twitter, close second. Josh in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
Good.
I got a statement and then a question for you.
All right.
All right, first off, I think it's only fair if we look at this whole problem in historical context. Like, y'all were talking about, does porn make it worse and yada, yada, yada. Well, historically, if you look at it, we're only getting better. I mean, rape was used in warfare as a tactic for centuries. Only the last couple hundred years have we stopped doing that. So, I mean, it's not as quick as we'd like. Yes, it obviously needs to be eradicated, but we are making progress.
I don't know that that's a fair thing to say. I mean, women are still raped in the military all the time.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about raped in the military. I mean, as far as that was just a done tactic, like you would rape and pillage a city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was you just let your troops rape people, loosely. That was part of the spoils of war.
If that's what counts as progress, but you know, we Kristen, you and I hung out with Barbara Boxer's daughter, who did an amazing film about the prevalence of rape in our military. So you know. I don't know. Josh, I'm not sure if it's better that it's not an official tactic. I don't know that it was never official a tactic of the military, but. All right. Duval in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Duval.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
Thank you for having your show on Current TV. I'd like to see you guys during the day more. Because there's a lot.
You mean in person? On TV. Okay.
On TV, well, in person too, but
I'm sure
they won't. I don't think they'll let you in the state of Utah.
No, they will not let you in the state of Utah. You're right.
That'd be a separate passport you'd have to get.
All right, go ahead, Duval.
My subject is that how do we try and hold kids to a standard when our politicians, our religious leaders, our even schools, administrators and everybody that they're surrounded with that they are supposed to look up to are wrought with hypocrisy. And senators and congressmen having to leave office because they get caught doing things that they're not supposed to.
Well, when you say everybody, it's not everybody. It's obviously some adults, right?
Enough of a majority that the media consistently can portray somebody as doing something wrong. On a daily basis, we see it, and so I'm not justifying it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the kids are subject to that, and they say, "Well, why do we have to do that when these people are getting away with it?"
Yeah. I mean, that's it, Jackie. Have we gotten coarser as a society, or is it just that social media is amplifying it? I mean, there's a story today about a super freak legislator in New Jersey speaking of this story, which, you know, goes to his point. But we'll talk about that when we continue. And Charlie Pierce as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, CharliePierceEsquire.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, some great stuff. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Just his writing describing Peggy Noonan on the various Sunday shows. It's worth the price of admission alone. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's a big day at the Supreme Court. The oral arguments start for marriage equality. We're going to be talking to Charlie about that and much more. Speaking of laws that are, this just does not seem wise. Irish town legalizes drinking and driving. Proposed by a local pub owner, ironically enough, and politician Danny Healy Ray. The motion allows people who live in country areas to have a few beers before they drive home. He said, amid governmental and local backlash, he said the law isn't supposed to apply to everyone, mainly elderly people who live in very remote places. What can possibly go wrong to allow people that are probably too old to drive in the first place to drive drunk? I think that's spectacular. He said, what's the alternative for them? Were no public or other transports available? Staying at home, lonely, staring at the four walls? No.
And she says no.
Clearly not. Out driving on the countryside. Of course. Go ahead, Jim.
Top of the morning to you. Danny Healy Ray here. Here in Kilgarvan, we have more than a few elderly people who live in remote places and with no public transportation. So I got to thinking, why don't little old biddies and geezers drive to and from the pub rather than staring at the four walls and nothing on the telly? Sure, technically you shouldn't operate a vehicle when you're scuttered. But if you've ever been to Kilgarvan, you know there's all to run into. And even if you did, you might make hundreds of euros of improvements to the town. Especially if you crash into the worst pub on the planet, Liam's Irish Sledgehammer. Trust me, you'd be doing us all a favour. Slange.
You want the definition of an Irish sledgehammer?
Sure.
It's not anything like something from Cleveland, is it?
It's sort of like something Stefan would talk about on Saturday.
No.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
It's that thing when a short redhead uses a fat girl's stomach as a trampoline, and he jumps up, does a backflip, and lands on his stomach with his drink and a hoo-ha.
Thank you for that, Jim. Thank you,
Stefan.
All right. Thank you, Stefan. Stefan,
it really sounds exactly like something he would say.
Yeah.
Yes or no.
All right. Wow. So, obviously, oral arguments today at the Supreme Court.
Oral arguments.
A big day in jurors.
Yes.
Prudence. Dear jurisprudence. Won't you come out to play?
Wow. Now there's finally something in it for Republicans to get behind marriage equality. Money.
Oh.
I think they can understand.
The sincerity is oozing.
Yes. Same reason they're behind immigration reform. We need the Latino vote back.
Exactly.
Inside
Don't
voice.
Tell them.
Inside voice with them. Yeah, Politico headline, Republicans see cash on opportunity in gay marriage.
Well. That changes everything.
Right. Republican fundraisers say the changing views of gay marriage in their party could unlock big money from a GOP donor in places like New York, California, and Florida. That's why it happened in New York, because a lot of the big Republican donors, Paul Singer, his son is gay.
Mm-hmm.
Where some Republicans have kept their checkbooks closed over what they saw as misplaced priorities at best or intolerance at worst at the highest ranks of the party, several Republicans pointed to Senator Rob Portman's switch in support of gay marriage as a watershed moment for the party. And more than two dozen high-profile Republicans asked the Supreme Court to back gay rights. They signed the brief. Even Foster Freeze, you know.
Yes.
Ice cream.
The one with the aspirin between his knees. That guy?
Right. He was closely behind Rick Santorum. Right.
That's
behind
not
Santorum.
Somewhere I'd like to be. Boy.
He has softened his stance.
Don't wear white.
Pardon me?
Nothing.
Okay. Republicans' intolerance to marriage equality has been detrimental to winning, said one Republican strategist. Big donors understand that they don't want to invest in campaigns focused on a losing issue, and I think the fiscal issues for Republicans are much more marketable. You know, some people were saying it's interesting. Some people don't care, like, why you get on the right side of an issue, but somebody was saying, like, whether it's Portman or whoever, they go, oh, it's only because you're personally involved now, because mm-hmm. it's your son. Like, you know, what about just doing it because it's the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a hard thing, right? Because you want someone to come around to the issue, but you want them to come around for the right reasons,
right?
Not because it's a personal vested interest. It's like now all of a sudden you saw the light. So the insincerity in that is definitely problematic, but...
That's so cute. She just mentioned insincerity in Hollywood, and we're all nodding our heads sincerely. That's right.
I haven't been here very long. I'm still allowed to be Pollyanna-ish.
Well, you know what? We're going to need you to go on down to storage room B now. Thanks.
You're taking my stapler.
I want you to go ahead. They go down.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
We have some
new people coming in, we need all the space we can get.
All right. Kamala Harris, California Attorney General, who is awesome.
She's the awesome.
Yes.
When we talk about fundamental rights as it relates to the Constitution, we are talking about those rights that we as a nation designated as being some of the most sacred of all the rights we can have.
Mm-hmm. Here he is, Senator Rob Portman, on the very same subject.
I'm announcing today a change of heart on an issue that a lot of people feel strongly about. It has to do with gay couples' opportunity to marry.
Speaking of doing the right thing for the right reasons, so Dick Cheney, who, the 2004, I mean, and Ken Melman was part of this, mm-hmm. putting out these flyers with, two men on a wedding cake and ran against it. I mean, it's, and again, we always knew that his daughter was gay, but mm-hmm. do you remember that moment in the debate when, they tried to act outraged that John Kerry brought up that his daughter is gay? When
everyone knew that.
How dare you? Why?
Didn't
Cheney call him a bad man?
Yes.
Boy.
Once again, let's review. Married to Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney,
okay.
Yeah.
Gack. Yeah, after they had sort of used her as a semi-campaign prop to, prove tolerance or something. And it just, anyway, this was Dick Cheney in 2009.
Well, I think, freedom means freedom for everyone. And, as many of you know, one of my daughters is gay, and
you're a bad man.
Something that we've lived with for a long time in our family. I think people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
Yeah, people ought to be free to vote too, and that didn't work out too well. For
he was so upset when people were bringing up his daughter as a prop.
How dare you? How dare you? Here's my gay daughter.
Yeah, here's my gay.
No, she's a prop for him.
Well, that's like Sarah Palin toting out her kids and saying you're not allowed to talk about my kids, and
but here they are.
Their kids as a prop.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah exactly.
You betcha.
As we've mentioned, my parents had the decency not to use me as a campaign prop when my dad ran for vice president. Because I was too ugly.
Well,
all right.
You were a little wolf child.
Who's to say if they would have had I been more attractive?
Your eyes were crossed permanently. What?
Yeah.
How did you uncross them?
I looked like you just shook up a little doll. And
yeah,
I was like,
you were googly-eyed.
Right, yeah.
But that uncrosses naturally, I think. A lot
Does
of kids
it?
Have that.
Yeah. My mom said she was right.
Yeah, just naturally uncrosses.
When we shave that unibrow, they'll just naturally uncross.
Maybe one of the times your brother hung you. Maybe that uncrossed your eyes.
Whoa!
My mother was probably behind that.
Yeah.
See if that helps with the eyes.
Maybe you hit yourself in the head with your jart.
We're never going to get her married off unless you do something about that.
No, that'll do it.
Okay. Ouch. That's going to leave a mark. Randy Thomason, he's a Prop 8 supporter.
Yes.
Ah.
We should not allow the federal judiciary to destroy the vote of the people, especially on something as old and good as marriage.
Ah. Okay, well, so far, all the polls I'm seeing, it's about 60-something percent support marriage equality now. So
It's pretty much exactly flipped from the way it was in 2004, which is remarkable.
Yeah,
that something
really
happened that fast.
Something about him makes me think he thinks barbarians need to be disciplined.
You think so?
I get that. I don't know.
We have to understand barbarians need to be educated.
Right.
They need to be disciplined.
Wow, speaking of which, a perfect segue. Because as we know, all straight people everywhere have exquisite family values.
Yeah.
Right.
Zoinks. And this is a Democrat, so we're equal opportunity.
No. Is this another junk shot?
No. No.
It's a little worse than that.
It's worse than Wiener.
Yes. And and now he has a book title. Okay.
Worse than Wiener.
Jersey Dems kinky office emails to spank me stalker. Wow, this story's a little. Speaking, I might get my googly eyes back.
I can't do that anymore.
A powerful New Jersey Democrat who is being touted as the party's next state chairman has an insatiable lust for bondage.
Uh huh.
That kind of sex, and
what?
Well. The other kind.
From behind?
No. And spanking. Secret email.
I'm confused. What's the middle part?
Give us a clue.
Are we?
Sounds like
oral
talking
sex. What's the matter with
you? Why can't you say
oral sex?
I don't know. I'm squeamish now.
All of a sudden, this whole story brought out the Catholic girl in me.
You're going to say something about precipitation or something, which isn't...
Yeah. Of the...
I love this.
It says secret emails. No, they're not secret anymore. Secret emails obtained by the Post. Assemblyman Joe Cryan graphically spelled out his kinky proclivities in more than 150 emails that he sent to a lobbyist. He then fought to keep them hidden after he stunned state political world by having her busted for stalking. So he sent all these emails, and then he had her arrested for stalking.
She's like, by the way, look what I have. Thank you for that.
Look at this treasure trove. Would you like some of the fun facts of the emails?
Sure.
All right. What do you want to be spanked with? That's what the nuns would ask in Catholic school, right?
Right.
Do you want them?
Well, we had two big paddles. They were hung on the wall behind Sister Luke's desk. And one of them would be a paddle without holes, and one would be a paddle with the holes.
Right. And you got to choose the weapon.
No. If you were really bad, you got the one with the holes because she could get a faster swing on it.
More wind velocity.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, sometimes parents will make you pick the weapon. What would you like to be struck with?
Right. And Sister Luke was shaped like a bulldog.
Mm, seriously.
Okay.
Well, in German schools, you had the choice between being hit by a buzz bomb or a Stuka. Those would be your options.
Thanks.
No,
Jim,
no.
Thanks. This was a part of the inappropriate workday exchange. This is kind of impressive, I have to say, that spanned 14 hours on June 28th, 2004. That's some, like, marathon sexting there.
Yeah.
That's 14 hours.
Your inappropriate emails are nothing compared to
right?
that.
Right? Yeah. Well, because I'm old. I peter out after, you know.
And you don't use punctuation in all
she
emoticons.
She doesn't encourage it. I just give up.
Right. It's like hieroglyphics. You can't decipher it.
Well, what are all those emoticons?
What does she want to do with the heart and the panda?
I would be offended, but I don't know what the hell she
and
meant.
It always ends with XO.
But I love you.
Okay, regarding the spanking, what will you wear to beg for it? Wow, that's like a bondage episode of what to wear. I don't know.
What not to wear?
Available for a BJ this morning? He queried. Okay, I won't read the other part. I'm really...
Available?
This is like a sort of a questionnaire. Tell me about your preference. Knees? Stairs? Or hands tied to a bedpost as you stand, dressed appropriately, of course. You know, what does one wear to be tied? What would be appropriate
to
a bedpost? I'm not really...
Hmm.
This is somebody...
Something breathable. A breathable fabric.
A tie. A necktie.
See-through Lululemon pants?
Or else.
Mm-hmm. Just no white after Labor Day.
No. That is not appropriate. That is horrible. That could cause... what's her name to kill you in the bathroom, like in... What am I thinking of?
Lillian Gish?
No!
The mask off?
No! The movie with Kathleen Turner. Serial Mom.
Serial Mom, yes.
Remember she killed a woman in the bathroom for wearing white Labor Day?
Yeah, that was Patty Hearst that she killed, actually.
She killed Patty Hearst in the bathroom.
Yes, for wearing white shoes after Labor Day.
His idea of appropriate dress included leather and boots, nipple clamps, easy access skirt, and Playboy-like lingerie.
Sure, okay.
You know, just normal workplace stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Office attire.
He frequently suggested they hook up for... and go sessions.
Like quickies?
Well, it's what rhymes with go. Cryan at certain points grew nervous about the paper trail he created. You delete these emails, right?
Oh, God.
You can do that?
Oh, no, sadly for you. No. Oh, boy. We're talking about how dumb is Tiger Woods. You're not recording this or anything. Hi, it's Tiger Woods, the famous golfer. I know this is a recording, but you're going to delete this, right?
Yeah. Oh, let me spell it for you in case you don't have it.
No, not really.
It would be T-I.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm going to do that after the thing because we're late here.
Okay,
20 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com will be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. All right, Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour with some great stuff. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
I would love, excuse me, in the middle of the weather, to make a comment regarding the whole with kids and social media taking pictures and thinking that they can get it, just do these things. And you look at Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, and other celebrities out there that,
you know, I was just going to say, Tim, soon you won't need a law degree. You'll be like, oh, this is too easy. They just put all the evidence on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these celebrities that weren't really celebrities until their naked pictures showed up online or their porn videos. And kids, I think, are looking at that today saying, hey, that's the easy way for me to get a TV show or fame. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they're doing it a lot of times. I think it's one of the epidemics of this country that we allow a lot of these celebrities to get away with this, and we then praise them with money.
Yeah, Tim, you know, that's how you know you're old and crotchety, because that's what I'm thinking. It's like, oh, great, we have a nation of people that want to be Kardashians, you know, that think that's a good thing.
I'm 31 years old, and I now feel like I just entered the age of 50 saying that.
And you know
really
what?
Do.
I bet there's people on your lawn right now. I would get those kids off of there. Get the hose.
Turn the hose on you.
Let's go to Tim in Cleveland. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Steph.
Hey,
thanks for having a forum on this, because we need to have a progressive forum where we talk about the elephant in the room that rape has always been.
Yeah.
Number one, we need to keep that it is an act of violence to exert power. It's not sex.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with sex. It is strictly a violent act, and it's about power. And in our society, you know, unfortunately, we have a hierarchical structure that's very exploitive, and especially for men, you know, when a man is exploited and pushed, and he does not feel that he has any kind of power or standing, the easiest way to get that is to violently assault another person.
Yep. No, good. All good points. Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com. Mm-hmm. We will check in with him on the Supreme Court and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I didn't need any help because I'm naturally perky and quite fascinating.
Oh, boy. The commercial breaks here really the most fascinating. Jim's leaving a message for his lovely wife.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy's coming by for the thing. Make sure you delete the thing. And Jackie's asking you, does this look infected?
Yeah.
Just taking care of our personal business.
Can we clarify that so
right.
people understand what we're talking
right.
about?
Right. It's your knee.
I fell playing tennis on Saturday because I am that competitive. And I have a giant gaping wound on my knee.
Awesome.
You were playing like you were on the grass court at Wimbledon?
Yeah, I mean,
but you were on concrete.
Oh, my God. This totally rickety
right.
this totally rickety court that looked like an earthquake had gone through it. I mean, it really could not be more low budget. And I went diving for a ball, and there's this big gaping wound in my knee.
The only thing to do is go to a spinning class now.
Yes, exactly. We're doing that after the show on Friday.
On Friday.
Yes, we are. You'd learn not to compete with Jackie Schechner. That's all I'm saying.
You've made me a total addict.
Right.
I'm a total soul cycle addict now.
Right, exactly.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
She's vicious. All right, do not get between her and the net.
No.
All right, guess what, kids? It's Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Remember, we started this whole mess off up here with our Supreme Court, so just remember that.
Yes,
yes
thank you, Massachusetts. So what do you think, Charlie? What are you feeling?
What do I think? This is going to be enormously popular around the studio. I think they're going to kick it back to the States.
I think so.
You know,
I think they're going to chicken out.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Chris just sent me this from the New York Times, deciding not to decide gay marriage. Interesting. In this, who wrote this? Let's see. David Cole, you know, said in the long run, national recognition of same-sex marriage marriage is inevitable. Same-sex marriage right, at first imposed by the courts, have now been recognized by state legislatures, prevailed in all four states where they were on the ballot in last year's election. Young people overwhelming, you know, yada, yada, yada. Prudence counsels that marriage equality should be allowed to continue gaining support in the states and that a federal resolution should be left for another day.
No! I hate that argument.
Me
no.
too! Me too!
How did that work out with abortion?
Right.
You know, that was supposed to settle the whole thing. We're going to, if we, you know, we'll leave it to, you know, the Supreme Court will decide, and therefore the back, you know, that what they're saying is that the, you know, the backlash was occasioned by the fact that the Supreme Court got involved. Well, does anybody think that, you know, abortion would be legal in, you know, Alabama or South Dakota or North Dakota now if the Supreme Court hadn't gotten involved? Give me a break. I forget the great, there was a great Sam Waterston line from one of the episodes of The Newsroom where he says, I'm too old to live my life in fear of dumb people. That's the way I feel about this.
Yeah,
by the way, Chris sends you things from like the New York Times. I he's like my Facebook BFF, and all I get is like beefcake photos of Chris.
Oh, stop it! you don't.
I just happened by one day and said, "Ah, there's some changes you know."
I mean, talk about Charlie. You know, it's interesting though what you bring up because I fight that too. That I have this really hopeful side that you know thinks they might go all the way with marriage equality.
Well, I mean, I'll be surprised if they do. To be honest with you, I mean, I could see a path for them to do so, but at the same time, I will be surprised. I don't think, right, honestly, there are six people on that court or five people on that court who are courageous enough to do that. I just don't. I think you give, if you give them a way out on it, they'll take it.
Well, interesting.
Again, we haven't even heard the arguments yet. And if you think I'm going to use the phrase oral arguments in this context, you're out of your mind,
No, don't do that. Now, by the way, you're...
You say nothing of presentation of the brief.
Hey,
but you know... Speaking of your writing about the Sunday shows is my favorite thing in the history of anything ever, can I just say. But on the subject of marriage equality, you call David Gregory the Dancing Master. You say, on came the panel, and the Dancing Master's gift for enabling charlatans and grifters was in full flower. Somehow, former Jack Abram F. Cabana boy Ralph Reed was back, pretending to be pious and stepping on the old double entendre rake, which I really was hilarious. I watched this.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said, but it was something about, you know, Gregory was talking about how popular, you know, obviously the approval rating for same-sex marriage has gone through the roof in the States. And
he said, look at the polling.
Reed said, I don't want to hold up the tent with one pole. Oh, I bet you do.
Oh, boy.
You say, I bet you wouldn't, Ralph, you lumberjack, you.
Yeah, right. He's a lumberjack, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hear Jackie Schechter jiggling in the background.
Yes.
I'm here.
I thought so.
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. I sleep all night, and I work all day.
And then you talk about Tony Perkins, one of our favorites, over on CBS with Bob Schieffer.
No, mother blood, no!
There we go. See, I can't say anything till that comes. I can't say anything till after my cue.
That's right.
I think you did an homage to Jim Ward here.
I actually did. It was a very subtle one, and I didn't directly cite Jim, but I did. It is part of an homage to Jim Ward, absolutely.
You said, after a brief outburst of reasons, Perkins reappeared dressed in a frumpy... Fucking wielding a kitchen knife at the top. Oh, never mind. But anyway, you were talking about what he said. Talk about polls. Polls, you really get what you ask for, is what Tony. But this is here they go again with right after this election. They're saying the polls are wrong.
Yeah, the polls are skewed again. They're losing. Their opinion is enormously unpopular. So therefore, what's really unpopular are the way that people are asking the questions.
Yeah, exactly. And you say if all those people believe that, why didn't they vote for Willard Romney? Those damn turncoats.
That's right. Exactly. They had a candidate. For whom they could stand up and be counted on this issue.
Yeah.
I mean, at least for, you know, the immediate 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And then your summation I loved. You said this ultimately is not about marriage. It's about the marriage altar. No, it's not about, it's about men and women and their pee-pees and hoo-has and what they do with them when the Pope, Jesus, and Tony Perkins aren't watching. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a good day when you can get hoo-ha into print.
Yes.
And also we have...
And I think you agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right.
And Esquire is just the place for that word.
Exactly.
Yes.
also, he had the lovely and talented Wayne LaPierre on Meet the Press.
Yeah, he was... Wayne is is getting even riper by the day. Now it's about making sure, you know, Uncle Fudd can hand down the family shotgun to his nieces and nephews and grandchildren, even if one of them turns out to be a cannibal murderer.
Yeah.
So it's about rich money bags, New York Jew, Michael Bloomberg coming to your house.
Exactly.
Buying things.
Right.
Charlie listens.
I love that you call him special guest crazoid, Wayne LaPierre, because that's and my other favorite part of your column. Hey, Joe Manchin, all you cowardly centrist Democrats, here's who you're lining up with.
Yeah,
and
that to me is something that doesn't get said enough. You know, you heard a little bit of it during the extensive "We're really sorry we backed the Iraq War" stuff from, you know, liberal hawks. Yeah. Where, you know, well, we didn't really line up with Wolfowitz and Cheney and those guys. We lined up with, you know, Kenneth Pollack. No, you lined up with Wolfowitz and Cheney. They were the only people on offer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, may I just say, may I use the analogy, you really shot holes in Wayne LaPierre's argument here, because he brought up, do you know where Chicago ranks in terms of enforcement of the federal gun laws out of 90 jurisdictions in the country? They ranked 90th. And as you point out, you know who's supposed to enforce those laws? The ATF. And you know which agency didn't have a freaking director for 6 years? And would you like to guess what group had the most to do with that situation? Hint, it wasn't a Chicago street gang.
Uh-huh.
The NRA, right?
Yeah, I mean, the default position is even illogical. That, you know, what we have to do is enforce the laws we have. Fine, get out of the way and let us do that.
Yeah,
which they won't do.
Right.
By the way, they're also lined up against the International Treaty on Arms, which is aimed at preventing the transformation of children into soldiers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, they've Amnesty International is going up the wall about that, because the NRA is lined up against it for some, you know, here come the UN blue helmets to steal your guns.
Can I just say that, as I mentioned earlier, your writing about Peggy Noonan is probably the thing
it's
that
poetic.
Makes me laugh.
Well, you have to,
you
mean,
call
you
her
to,
Our Lady of the Magic Dolphins.
I grew up with Peggy Noonans. I had, you know, my mother's friends were all Peggy Noonans. A lot of the women I went to Catholic school were Peggy Noonans. I know the Peggy Noonans.
Yeah, yeah. You say she, the tiny canaries that orbit her head went into full spring mating cry this Sunday. Because you were saying her argument, I guess, on the marriage equality, you said Americans don't take it well and don't accept it as a resolution when their black-robed masters in Washington decide to put on them what they decide is the right thing. And you say, not for nothing, we had a bad president for 8 years because of a decision by black-robed masters, at least two of whom had insurmountable conflicts of interest, and I don't recall Our Lady's vapors back then. Exactly right.
I think, you know, she gets back into the let's let the states decide kind of thing, and you know we tried that with a lot of things and it never really worked out.
Like slavery?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not just slavery, but Jim Crow. I mean, yeah. Jim Crow was a state, you know, that states' rights became a rallying cry, you know, after, you know, at the end of the Civil War, after the Civil War, for the rise of Jim Crow.
Yeah.
If you leave it to the states, that's what will happen. Okay.
So in terms of what's going to happen, Charlie, what about the gun? I mean, President Obama supports universal background checks, obviously. He said he does not support a national registry, which is what you were saying Wayne LaPierre was out there fear-mongering about, for those who own guns legally.
Okay, is your mellow on the table?
Yes.
Then put it away, because I'm going to harsh it again.
Oh.
I think the clock may have run out. I think they might get background checks. They might get background checks. And for an issue that, you know, what's the ridiculous poll number one now? 91% of Americans think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
Might is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I'm afraid that, you know, as I said, the clock may have run out on this one. You know, once again, I'm astonished by the inability of the majority of the people of the country to get what they want done.
Yeah, but, I know. I mean, exactly. Seriously, what number does it need to be?
This isn't even a majority. This is everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
91% is everybody.
Yep, I know. Exactly. Exactly. You never see that kind of number. Charlie Pierce, exquisite stuff. We will talk next week after all
good
the
luck,
Supreme Court
luck,
doings.
Good luck today. Listen to the oral argument.
All right. Bye,
Charlie.
Yeah, you know why we can't have nice things?
Why?
Jackie Schechter, because of the people that make their money from guns.
This is a story about Bubba Joe and Skeeter Choo.
Right.
Two gun lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around the house, pick their nose, and watch Fox News. And here's what happened when they decided who to schmooze. They met a congressman east of old El Paso. The gun lobby had given him
big stash full.
Yeah.
The NRA guy has himself a big castle. LaPierre makes his money from guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, make your money from guns. Go on, make your money from guns. Go on, make your money from guns.
Yeah, yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike. Never on vacation, working 24/7.
It's amazing to me how he finds the main song
so
perfectly every time so quickly.
He's a genius. Yes. Genius! 46 minutes after the hour.
We should pay him.
Come over there. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, I had a hard time with the word welcome just then. We apologize for this small brain-related event.
We apologize for this show. It's been a little...
Right, yes. I'm
cattywampus.
Sleepy.
Cattywampus,
right,
yeah.
I am sleepy and...
drunk.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. But Jackie Shetner, wearing her journalistic stripes, is propping us up today.
Thank you.
Really?
Like,
I'm responsible
like
for keeping this on track.
News tent pole.
I'm not doing a very good job.
Yes, you are. All right. Terry in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Hey. I was just going to say that when my son was in eighth grade, the coach asked them all who wanted to go out for football. Well, he was the only one in his grade that did not. So his coach was very angry and said, well, what am I supposed to do with you? And my son said, well, can I lift weights? And he said, no. He said, you can start cleaning this gym and you can start with the bathroom.
Wow.
To me, that just sort of sets the groundwork that you have no self-worth if you don't want to be aggressive
Jim was saying earlier, Terry, that I mean, in some ways, you know, that's the point of football, is to hurt other people. I mean, we're talking about this obviously as it relates to the football culture in Steubenville and all that, right?
Yeah, right. And then after that, he was so ostracized. They, you know, of course, they called him gay, faggot. Nobody would sit by him at lunch, and it changed him. It was horrible. It was just horrible.
I mean, isn't that something? I mean, you're calling, obviously, we're out here in L.A., you're calling from Georgia, but seriously, getting called the F-word for gay man for not wanting to play football in 2013. I mean...
Yeah. And he wouldn't pop the bras of the girls in fifth grade, so the boys were mean to him then. You know, I just tried to raise him with good manners, and he was just a very kind-hearted little boy.
Or, according to the football team, gay.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
Which would have been okay with me if he was. I told him that all of his life. But, you know, it's just so sad. It's just so sad that you
let's
have
see
to
what happens at the Supreme Court, but I also hope that we can stop using that word as a pejorative.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for calling. We're very echoey.
She had an echo. I had to pop her down while you were talking.
She had an echo. I had to pop her down while we were talking.
I mean, I love hearing myself
speak. I love hearing myself speak.
I would like to hear everything
I
say
twice.
I would
like to hear everything I can say twice.
Right?
Right?
Oh, God.
Stop being annoying, Jim. Okay, you were supposed to repeat that. All right, never mind. Okay, Greg in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hi, I'm the devil's advocate from New Jersey. In defense of the state rep's hoo-ha, I just want to ask, how is it fair to, you know, to kind of publicly shame the state rep in New Jersey when on the same day that we're hoping that maybe the Supreme Court will give all Americans rights and freedoms to do what they want to do in their own home with consenting adults of any gender?
Right, Greg, nobody's cares what he does in his private home. The problem is he had this woman arrested for stalking.
Yeah.
And, you know, that she was trying to prove it's consensual. And obviously,
I'm
there's
sure
150
he'll be
emails.
If that was a wrong charge. But I mean, we're not.
No. The point is that these were during. These were in the workplace. These all of these, you know, inappropriate emails, and so obviously they're relevant to the case. I don't think
his computer to talk to people. I mean, he can't email. He has to go all the way home and hide, and you know, talk to whoever he wants to talk to at home.
Well, he shouldn't be using company. Well, it's a, you know, company.
It's his computer. It's his computer.
So you should be able to send 150 emails about.
I think you should be able to talk to, if you were gay. And I'm bisexual, so, you know, I deal with a lot of this stuff myself. If you are gay and you use a phone to talk to your gay partner, there are some companies that will fire you for it. And if they happen to get control of your emails, if that's how you're talking to your partner, there are some companies that will fire you for it. And this guy being a politician, obviously, that's what we're talking about. He may get fired for this. And if it's consenting, if it's your phone, if it's your computer, how is that fair?
See, I don't even think that's what this case is about, though, Greg. That's what I'm saying. She was charged with stalking, and her case was always that this was consensual, and the emails finally came out proving that. I don't think this has to do with the issues you're talking about, but, you know, anyway, that being said.
Yeah, I think you stunned him.
I think he mixed a couple of different topics, which is okay because our show's been a little intertwiny today.
Right.
But he mixed a couple of different topics.
In a big ball
there.
Of weird twine today. Okay. Melissa in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Melissa.
Oh, good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Good.
Good
morning.
I just wanted to say that part of what's happening with this gun control is the fact that, or part of what's so upsetting is that it's not even coming up for a vote. And that it's not coming up for a vote to protect what seems to be the Democratic politicians who are afraid to speak out against it. And in Illinois, you have Mark Kirk, who seems to be a very vocal supporter of gun legislation, which is a shock to me because I'm a Democrat and I didn't expect that from him. And then we have Dick Durbin, who's absolutely silent on the issue. And so what I decided to do was write a letter to Dick Durbin saying that you have to take a stand, that there has to be a consequence for not saying anything, that that's just as bad as going against the public will. Come out and say no so we know where you are. But this hiding behind the, well, there's no vote and we don't have enough votes, it's enough. That's, you guys are paid to make decisions, make a decision and stand by it.
Yeah,
and
I mean, look,
not what the public wants.
Melissa, remember this, that powerful speech the president gave about all the families and the victims there, and they deserve a vote.
Yes, we do. We all deserve a vote. And that's why I wrote to Dick Durbin and I called it chicken manure. That he's
thank
not.
You for editing.
Yeah, I'm sure he loved that.
But it's the truth. And I didn't edit it in the letter because I think that people really do feel that strongly about it. People, it's not one of those issues that people are wishy-washy on.
Thank you. 91% of us. Mayor Bloomberg.
I don't think there's ever been an issue where the public has spoken so clearly where Congress hasn't eventually understood and done the right thing.
And then what did Charlie Pierce call him? Crazoid.
Crazy.
Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah.
It slows down the law-abiding and does nothing to anybody else.
He's talking about background checks. It's just like these arguments make no sense to me that he makes. Like, Charlie Pierce, if you go to Esquire.com, does a great job.
We put a link to it up on your Facebook
deconstructing
page.
Deconstructing all those stupid arguments.
There are too many people on the planet. Some of them got to die.
Right. That's why God made wood chippers. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Newswoman Jackie Schechter live in studio with us
Hello.
All this week. Very, very exciting.
Me?
We busted her out of the current news center.
What did I win?
This, the opportunity to spoon in Captain America's underpants.
You
with us
won
here.
A longer commute.
It's so cozy in here. I did.
Right
I
when
did.
Coldwater is closed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And an extra Band-Aid for your boo-boo from your tennis.
I have shown it to the group.
Oh, it does not look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does look infected. By the way, could you taste this milk? Does it taste bad?
Yeah.
My mother's having a coronary right now. You do realize
this. Does this taste funny?
Has this potato salad started to turn?
Mm. Smell this.
I ate the whole thing, but do you think it started to turn?
Smell this.
So you know you are entirely too close when someone says, does this look infected? I don't know. Okay,
or smell this.
Okay.
Smell
that's
the glove.
When you know it's too close.
Is ooze a bad thing?
No, don't say it. People are eating. Okay.
Are they?
A little, yeah. All right. Kids, you know, April 13th is almost fast upon us. You know what that
means. Hey, Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from Mama.
Yay!
Yay! Kermit Flail!
Hey, speaking of great comedy, we mentioned, I made a laughing reference a little while ago.
Yes.
These people get to come in to watch the oral arguments at Supreme Court for 3 minutes. It's like the beginning of laughing. A lot of opening and closing doors. Come in, come out.
Oh, that's what that reference
So that's why Joanne Worley was at the Supreme Court.
Is Joanne Worley there? That would be fabulous if she were able to just pop in.
One of our friends on Twitter says that the three-minute rule is actually pretty common when there are cases that are of great interest to the public.
Right. We have a good friend that who is a legal animus.
Animus.
Right.
No, analyst.
She's a constitutional lawyer, and she's going to check in with us and tell us because she got to get in today and tomorrow. All right. So, by the way, speaking of laughing and speaking of sexy liberals.
What?
George Schlatter, creator of Laughing, our buddy, our pal. Kind of hilarious. He was on with Neil Cavuto.
He was on with Neil Cavuto talking about, you know, the late night wars and Jay Leno getting pushed aside for Jimmy Fallon now and all that. So they brought him on to talk about that. And I don't know that they knew he was a liberal.
Oh.
Listen, you don't want to take Neil Cavuto by surprise. I've learned
you've
that the
done
hard
that,
way.
And then the next day you get a tongue lashing when you're not there to defend yourself.
I got a lecture. It was an entire segment about me.
That's right.
I wasn't there.
And how, what an awful person you are.
It was really awful. She made fun of my voice. She sounded like Marvin the Martian. You're stupid.
Here it is.
I claim this
it's tough
show
to do conservative comedy, you know?
That's
I mean,
fine.
There's not a lot of conservative.
It's before minutes in, you finally had your hit.
Didn't say anything. I didn't say that the only conservative comics are Hannity and
that's fine.
And
enough.
I didn't say it.
No, you know,
I didn't say it, Neil.
That's hilarious. All right, and one more, Neil Cavuto.
And this closed out the interview.
George, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much.
Nice to see. Do say hello to the little woman.
I will. And, Sean Hannity hopes you go to hell.
well,
you didn't say.
I'll meet O'Reilly there.
He didn't.
O'Reilly.
Yeah. All right, my new book is Killing Schlatter.
He's Catholic.
That should go well.
He's Catholic, so O'Reilly's Catholic, so he may not get in.
That's fine. Okay, let me blessedly finish this. That was George Schlatter making his final appearance here at Fox.
such weenies over there.
I know. How dare you? It's not fair.
Although what happens? I get like that. You could tell there's a moratorium on me, and then they decide to give me another chance, and then I blow it up again. And I'm like, all right, you want me to come back? Okay. That's always my goal, is to not get invited back.
I know.
It works every time.
We should have had Dennis Miller rebut him, showing that comedians can be conservative.
All right, speaking of unintentional comedy, Eddie in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eddie.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. Since homosexuals have higher rates of domestic violence, murder...
Okay, hang on now. Where are you getting that fact from?
Google it.
Jackie, get on that.
Everything on the Google is true.
Yeah.
Now you Google it and you look for some empirical research to support your view, not just anything.
Where did you find your empirical research?
Well, I've got it. You look it up.
What site? What site did you find your empirical research at?
Let me ask you a question.
I think it's homosarebad.com.
I can do it right now.
Okay,
give me a link. I'll go to it.
Google it.
Yeah. What am I Googling?
Yeah. What link? What link is she looking for?
You'll find out that the medical maladies are
medical maladies
higher among. Yeah, there's infections are related to the
maladies.
Okay.
Jackie Schaefer's straight, and she has an infection on her knee right now.
The thong is over, but the melody lingers on.
Well, have you guys ever heard of AIDS, by the way?
Oh, no.
No, you tell.
Oh, that, the diet candy. Sure, I remember that.
The majority of people around the world who have HIV and AIDS are straight. You do realize that.
Well, getting back to my point.
Okay, I'll straight over that.
Wait a minute. Eddie, okay. Go back to your first statistics. You said gays have higher rates of domestic violence and what else?
Suicide, alcoholism, drug abuse.
Murder and stuff like that. Yeah, well, that's those
gay murderers. Stuff.
Eddie, let me start by saying that all of that is completely untrue. But go ahead to your next set of.
Look, I invite people to go and research themselves.
Okay.
Rather than just take your opinion in the left wing echo chamber.
Sure.
But number two, if they have these maladies, and indeed they are true, then shouldn't they be denied by a background check from owning a weapon?
What? Huh?
Ball sex is.
Folks, I mean, if we're gonna have background checks, shouldn't we remove people?
Because they have higher rates of infection, they shouldn't be able to get guns.
No, infection was not a related.
Jackie, I hope you're not gonna buy a Bushmaster today.
I wasn't referring to medical infections as a disqualification from owning a weapon. I'm referring to the mental illness associated with homosexual lifestyle.
Oh, right. Mental illness. So all gay people are by definition mentally ill.
I'm too busy Googling homosexuality and murder.
I'm
busy here.
There's mental issues that either are symptomatic of homosexuality or they're caused by it.
Right.
But the point is that these people have higher rates of murder, suicide, domestic violence, drug abuse, alcoholism, and right down the line.
Okay, once again, that is all completely untrue.
Well, I would think if they have higher rates of suicide, it's from listening to people like him.
So you're saying that God says that gays shouldn't have guns, encompassing all of your issues
in
one...
Sure, it's in the Bible.
No, I'm saying that the Second Amendment, by the way, is not based on ballots and by polls. It's based on our Bill of Rights.
And that's
important too. Mm-hmm. And just because you cite polls constantly,
right,
that doesn't mean we can start nipping away at the Bill of Rights. So that's my other argument.
Okay, so you want gays armed as much as possible is your point of the call? I'm missing
that. Yeah, absolutely. My point is that if someone's homosexual and they want to own a gun, they should be able to own it irrespective of their history of their group they belong to.
Despite all of their various defects.
Despite the fact they're mental.
I support freedom. I see that this violation of the Second Amendment not only is it unconstitutional, I see it as damaging to individual rights, and it encompasses everybody's rights, not just Christian Tea Party members.
Well, as one of the mental defectives you speak of, I salute you for supporting my rights. Thank you so much. I don't want a gun, but thank you for that. Okay.
I have to admit, I've violated the Third Amendment. I have been housing redcoats in my garage.
Right. Oh, damn it, Jim.
Yeah.
Right. I have, what we learned from that call, I have gone mental.
Gays are mental.
I've gone mental, I must say.
And yet he supports my right to be armed to the teeth.
Right.
That encompassed God's guns and gays all in one nice little ball of
something.
Bigotry or something.
Well, in the Second Amendment to the Bible, it says, whatever.
Okay. All right. Jackie, how's that Google going over
guns,
there? How's that going? What's happening?
Well, Conservapedia. Has a whole section on homosexual couples and domestic violence.
Oh.
See, you Googled it, so now it's obviously true.
So it makes me think domestic abuse underreported in the gay community. There's a whole thing here about homosexual couples and violence.
That's
it seems
part
that
of,
maybe this is where it's coming from.
That's part of the homosexual agenda, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. According to Conservapedia. Which, by definition, is an opinion.
Is biased.
Yes. It's not.
All right.
Okay.
But it's on the Google. I mean, on the interwebs, through the Google.
Let's get to the more important issue in America today, and that is people being attacked by people dressed as mimes. Which I think...
This is a thing?
This is a thing.
I'm surprised the mimes aren't being attacked first.
College student...
Preemptive strike.
You can pretend to run away. Into the wind.
Into the wind.
Down a staircase.
Using a rope.
You can't touch me. I'm in a box.
The headline is college student attacked by woman dressed as a mime. Did cops have the right to have to tell her she had the right to remain silent? Even the writers are doing it.
They couldn't resist that. Come on.
Stephanie Walker, 37, dressed as a mime when she allegedly attacked a 20-year-old University of Georgia student. The female student said she was walking down the street around 11 a.m. when Walker approached, wearing all black with her face painted completely white. Walker allegedly started yelling right away, bad mime.
Yeah.
Marcel
Marceau would say no.
Yeah.
No.
He just rolled over in his fake box.
Yeah.
Whee! Okay. She started yelling that the student had watched her on TV. When the student replied she didn't even have a TV, Walker allegedly grabbed her hair, hit her, and shoved her onto the ground. Authorities showed up. Walker was ranting without making any sense.
You think?
The student
Do limes ever make sense?
Not really.
No.
The student
they
and
make
Walker,
pennies, but yeah, that's not a big...
The student and Walker did not know each other previously. She was charged with battery and scheduled to have a mental evaluation.
Hmm.
She's also gone mental.
She's completely mental,
she's
I must
mental.
Say.
Maybe she's one
gay.
Of the defectives.
Maybe she's gay.
Walker... These are some really not so fun facts, particularly if you're a parent. Right. Walker, not the first person to dress up like an entertainer, end up in a street fight. In November, a cop and a clown were caught on tape publicly brawling.
Well, I'm after a clown here to amuse you.
Clown was allegedly chasing cars with a squirt gun.
Were they clown cars he was chasing?
And the story continues. In case your children are already terrified of clowns, Dominic DeVille, the evil birthday clown.
What?
Will, for a fee, stalk your child the week leading up to his birthday. DeVille says he harasses the child with threatening notes and phone messages that culminate in him smashing a pie in the kid's face.
Wow. That's a thing?
Was he dressed like the clown from It? With
the
sharp teeth?
Apparently gays should not have kids, but apparently there are some parents.
Worst parents ever.
Right. Hiring an evil clown to stalk your child.
Oh, God.
Wow. Save up a little for therapy.
Wow.
18 minutes after the hour.
And bail. I mean, a kid like that is going to turn to a life of crime.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh. In a perfect world, there would be no right-wing talk radio. Until then, there's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, thank God. Matt in Reno has the Google and is a therapist.
Oh, good.
Can he clarify?
Write about our caller saying that gays have higher rates of
They're being mental.
Infection.
Bad. And being mental.
Being mental,
I must say.
Murder, domestic violence.
Sure. Right.
I who knows what else. Okay.
Rickets.
Matt. Rickets. Scabies. Okay, Matt in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Matt.
Rickets and scabies.
Right.
Oh, my God, I get those every day at the gym.
Eczema, seborrheic psoriasis.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... First of all, I'm also the one that kind of stalks Chris on sending him nasty pictures of me go-go dancing.
Oh, hello. Hi, Matt.
You're the what?
He sends me pictures of him go-go dancing.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Matt. Thanks for that.
All right. So I'm also I am a therapist, and I'm out in California. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, if you go to Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration, SAMHSA.gov, you'll find substance abuse-related information on LGBT populations. And if you go to the National Institutes of Mental Health, you'll find information on LGBT populations. And the substance abuse is directly correlated to social and suicide are both directly correlated to social acceptance.
Right.
Right.
So maybe in the 30 states that people are allowed to not be employed just because they're gay.
Thank you.
They're suffering a little bit of social disacceptance.
Well, mm-hmm. And Matt,
like
I don't know if you... I don't know if you heard this mom call from...
To get married.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if you heard this mom call from Georgia, but said, you know, their son gets called the F word for a gay man because he didn't want to play football. I mean, it's absolutely right. There's a lot of areas of the country where, it's a very cogent point you're making.
As you find out, as people, and the suicide rates are most highly correlated. That's why your support of the Trevor Project is so important.
Thank you.
They're very correlated to when people come out of the closet. And a lot of these things happen, especially around holiday times. People intoxicated, stressed out,
naturally, in all groups of population, suicide goes up around holiday time. Mm-hmm. In LGBT yeah. families, where there's a person that's coming out, they usually end up coming home from something, and the family's already stressed out, there's already problems, there's already things happening. It comes out where they're arguing and fighting, and then there's this incident where the gay person finally just says, you know, like, they can't take it anymore, and they say it. The family members ostracize them even more than they've already been ostracized, and then they end up doing something to hurt themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's where that comes from. The DV rates, they're underreported, but they're no different than the general population.
Yeah, domestic violence,
and the reason,
right.
The reason, and there's been some studies on reporting in the LGBT population and finding
results in terms of moderating Medicare cost growth and actually producing better outcomes right. for people, whether it's kids on their parents' policies or children not being excluded. You know, what we ought to be doing is really having, again, a grown-up conversation about implementation. There's going to be some bumps in the road. You know, there was when Medicare was rolled out in,
that's right.
in 1965. You know, let's focus on that rather than this, you know, just ridiculous blast from the past, which, again, it went nowhere.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, Representative, talk to us about where we're at with whether it's a budget or a sequestration or all of this stuff, because Paul Ryan's budget, I just am like, are you kidding me? This is what you presented, what you ran on, what you lost on. It's, you know, doubling down on all this stuff, right?
It is. I mean, the good news is that, I mean, it looks like the Senate's moving forward on a spending plan for the rest of this fiscal year, which does move the ball forward. It's not my favorite version, but it's certainly one that, you know, I think will pass and can pass in the House hopefully later this week or early next week, and the president will sign it. So we've at least eliminated this sort of government shutdown this year. And you know, given some flexibility in terms of sequestration, but obviously we really should just get that also eradicated, and there's really mm-hmm. very good, smart ways to do that. And then the budget plan, which is obviously next year's budget, again, Patty Murray, to her credit, is really working hard to get the Senate to produce a budget plan. That's a good thing. And I think, again, when the people see what she's doing, which protects Medicare, has a balanced approach to deficit reduction versus, you know, again, this just really nasty, harmful, anti-middle class plan that the Republicans are rolling out in the House. You know, again, if nothing else, public opinion should be, I think, reengaged and to be on our side and hopefully
right.
get people to move.
Representative Courtney, what about the sequestration? I mean, is there any reasonable chance of stopping this, of undoing it?
You know, my take on it is, and I've been out, you know, home talking to a lot of the affected groups here, is that this thing, unfortunately, looks like it's going to have to really bite a little bit before people are really going to, again, I think, recognize that the dangers of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was reading some numbers the other day, but not only these, you know, great new jobs numbers, the unemployment rate down to 7.7,
yep.
the housing market coming back, and you just think, oh, just in time,
yep.
right, for the sequestration to hit.
No, that's right. And, you know, state and local governments are going to, you know, again, be under, you know, unnecessary pressure to, again, continue to downsize, you know, larger classrooms, streets that won't be as safe. You know, Head Start programs where kids are going to be bumped from slots. And I actually talked to a center in my district this last week where that's going to happen. You know, four-year-olds are going to get kicked out of Head Start. You know, those things, unfortunately, my sense is that they actually have to, like I said, bite or happen before people are going to get serious.
Yeah.
Again, and we could spend another show about easy ways that we could fix this.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's so unnecessary, so manufactured.
Yeah, exactly. From, as the president says, we're lurching from one manufactured crisis to the next.
Yep.
And I just, you know, I guess the last question is there any, I hate to be too happy clappy, is there a reasonable chance we could take the House back? I know there's gerrymandering and all of this stuff, but it just seems like if people get disgusted enough, is there a chance?
Well, I mean, 17 seats, if you look at the swings in the last few elections, actually is not a crazy number.
The president has pledged his wholehearted support to the DCCC, which, he had his own issues last election he had to take care of. But that's going to be a big help. And again, I think as the public sort of looks at these guys and gets, more experience with them, I think we're going to have a very powerful argument, to take back the House. Pelosi is just, an amazing organizer and fundraiser. Really, she's just, remarkable in terms of that, effort. She just, continues to produce.
Well, turnout.
That's right.
In midterms, I know it's always tough, but boy, I just, like I say, it seems to me just in becoming increasingly impossible to govern with this current makeup of the House Republicans.
No, it's true. I mean, the Violence Against Women Act, I think, when it first passed in 94, only one Republican voted no. In 05, when it was reauthorized, two voted no. And then, 2 weeks ago, 138 voted no. I mean, that's, if you want a good sort of gauge of how radicalized the party is, I think that statute really shows it.
Right. Used to be an absolute no-brainer. Representative Courtney, always such a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time to check in with us. All right.
Yep.
Talk to you soon. There he goes. Oh, well, look who's here. That we need to speaking of balance,
really?
In that Texas.
It's such a good morning.
I know, so I decided to ruin it.
Phone call from the rain.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about. Just letting go.
Mm-hmm. Philly.
If you want to know how his talking points are strange. How does he come up with his stuff? How does he? How? Bad noisy.
Hello, Billy in Texas.
Good morning, going on?
Hello?
What's going on?
Oh, see, you start name-calling right away.
Aw.
Quit being gay. Anyway, look, here's the thing.
What?
Obamacare is a great idea. It's like a flying car. If it looks good on paper, it just won't work.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And the 32-ounce sodas at Bloomberg, your little guy down in New York.
My little guy? You mean Republicans? Republican Michael Bloomberg?
Yeah.
He's a Republican. What do you mean, my little guy?
Well, your little guy, because he's still a little tin-pot dictator like your Marxist Obama is. And,
you're particularly Skeeter-like this morning.
Years when I was a kid.
Huh?
And I'm alive and well here in deep in the heart of Texas.
You used to have what when you were a kid?
I started with 32 ounces of beer when I was a boy.
Oh, awesome. Well, that makes you extra manly then.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
All right. The
whole thing is, y'all are going around again, misrepresenting what's going on in this in this country with Obama.
Oh, that's what we Marxists do.
Well, that's exactly.
Right?
Boy, aren't you right?
Right. Thank you. All right. See, we finally agree. Isn't that magical? He was particularly weird.
That was weird.
That's just weird. Okay. All right. Let's.
Your little guy.
Apparently, Michael Bloomberg's my little guy.
Republican.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Republican Michael Bloomberg. All right. This is why this sort of thing happens. Breitbart.com fooled by joke news site after blasting writer for being fooled by same joke news site.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Gawker brings us the story. When a Washington Post columnist fell for a fake news story on the satire site Daily Current a few weeks ago, Breitbart.com's John Nolte suggested the paper was without a shred of self-awareness, integrity, and dignity, and wrote it, "Never let facts get in the way of a good narrative." Of course, that was before his own outlet got fooled by the exact same satire site. Over the weekend, Breitbart.com's Larry O'Connor published a post on Daily Current item with the title, "Paul Krugman Declares Personal Bankruptcy," which was a joke. By the way, speaking of jokers, in a post on his blog, Krugman admitted that he saw the false reports but kept quiet because he wanted to wait and see which right-wing media outlets would fall for the
joke. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Loving
that.
You can be a Nobel-winning economist and funny. Nicely done. All right, 45 minutes after
Never thought
the hour.
Of Paul Krugman as a jokester.
He's a scamp. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? We're just, this is always pre-vacation week, isn't it?
It is. We're always like this.
I think you know what happens when we get started with Romney kids. Like, cling,
shorn, flarn,
snurg,
flegel, snork,
snurd. Okay.
Duper,
and I hand all the other banana splits.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. We love it. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They are amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Enter Stephanie, please. Okay, what?
Sorry, what?
Hmm? We were talking about... actually, Representative Courtney brought up the Violence Against Women Act. Love this headline. Republican senator takes credit for anti-rape law he voted against. A lot of that going around.
How does he get...
Shortly after President Obama signed the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization to law, Senate Minority Whip John Cornyn released a glowing press release claiming the Cornyn bill to eliminate nationwide rape kit backlog was signed into law. The so-called Cornyn bill is the SAFER Act, which was incorporated into the Violence Against Women Act renewal. There's only one problem. Cornyn voted against it. Cornyn was one of 22 Senate Republicans, men who voted against the Violence Against Women renewal. But because his provision was in the thing that he voted against, you see, he's just taking credit for the bill he voted
against. You're against the Violence Against Women Act, then you must be pro-violence against women.
Right. Oh, I do have a Chris Brown story coming up. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, Lord. Segway?
Segway? All right, I guess I'll segue now. He was up partying at the Emerson Theater out here in Hollywood, apparently, last week when he grabbed the mic from the DJ and went off on how to talk to your woman.
Oh.
Would anyone like some tips?
Okay. Are these fun facts, really?
Yeah, these are some dating tips from Chris Brown.
All right.
Chris said, you gotta say that one thing to her. Don't make me have to tell you again. That's my baby. So you better not give it away. So every person in this mother building, if you got a bad, you better say that to her or she might another N-word.
Alrighty then.
Okay.
Words to live by.
Yeah, those are free.
Thanks for those tips.
Thanks. Okay. If only I had an umbrella. Ella. Right. With which to smack him. Okay. Barbara Walters, everybody, says that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is not leaving The View.
She's not
leaving.
Regardless
of whatever you have heard, what scurrilous rumors you may have heard. There was a report yesterday she was being pushed out of the series because of her right-wing opinions. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think she does serve a purpose on that show. You know, as much as I don't care
for her.
Even
though she is a white-wing whack job.
Keeping her regardless of the fact she is a white-wing whack job.
She serves a purpose on that.
Sure.
She serves as a foil and makes things interesting.
Sure. Okay. I was going to think of some analogy, and I couldn't. I was out. Okay. Hal told a story yesterday, which we love, of his friend's Pomeranian, who is named Barbara Walters.
Right.
And so she has to run down the street yelling, Barbara Walters, bad! Barbara Walters is bad! No! Which we love, and we were thinking of other, and now I wish I had done that. Yesterday, you said I should name my next dog Jim Lehrer.
Yes.
I'm thinking, actually, Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer, come here.
I want a biscuit. Bob Schieffer wants a biscuit.
I'm so old and I'm such a geek, I was thinking, if I tune more dogs, I'll help Huntley Frankly. Huntley Frankly, come here. Guess what I'm reactivating?
Say goodnight, Jen.
What?
The whole Team Angelina, Team Jen. You know I've been solidly Team Jen forever.
Yes.
Jim is a team I don't give a flying. However, Brad Pitt reportedly has acquired a marriage license and will Brangelina marry perhaps within 90 days. But that deadline could see the big day for the pair clash with the nuptials of Brad's ex, Jennifer Aniston, which would spark a bitter bun fight over celebrity guests. And it's on again. It's on.
Now, what does Colin Farrell think about all that?
In the words of the immortal Pink, it is so on right now. How dare you do that to Jennifer? Never. Okay.
Bet you $10 that story isn't true.
I don't care. I don't care.
$10 American.
I'm just trying to gin up something.
$10,
that's outrageous. I won't pay it.
Hey, it's the... parade edition that makes us all feel like giant losers every year. It's the what people earn issue.
Oh, God, that issue.
Justin Bieber, $55 million in 2012.
For what?
Oh,
what?
Taylor Swift made $57 million.
Trouble. Yeah, some trouble.
I knew she was trouble when she walked in. Yeah, that's right. She $57 million, breaking young boys' hearts. She can write songs about them, make goats scream.
Trouble, $57 million worth of trouble.
Oh, Tina Fey's got a potty mouth. This is a fun story. And
I love
she's done talking about Taylor Swift, speaking of Taylor Swift. In footage posted by E! News, a paparazzi asked her if she was overreacting.
Paparazzo.
Right. Asked Faye if Swift was overreacting about their apparent war of words. The 30 Rock star smiles and tells the photographer, go yourself. Walks away. He says, again, can you comment on anything? She said, go yourself.
With your camera.
So apparently that is her comment, that he can go
himself. Okay, then.
Huh. She's done talking about this Taylor Swift thing.
I'd be a little tired of it, too.
All right. By the by, great piece in the New York Times on the minimum wage debate this weekend that I forgot to mention. You know, we've been talking about, you know, raising the minimum wage or not as the president proposed. And they make a good point in this piece in the New York Times. Aren't these conservatives the ones that are always whining about, you know, the 47%, the moochers, people living off the public dole?
Mm-hmm.
That's why people have to live off the public, because they don't make enough money.
Right, right.
That's why I don't get why they're not on the side of this. Andy Stern writes, nearly 8 million Americans go to work every day, yet still live below the poverty line. That's in part because the federal minimum wage is too low.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, an individual with a full-time job at the minimum wage and a family of three to support will fall below the federal poverty line. These workers, despite putting in regular hours, are struggling to provide basic necessities for themselves and their families. By allowing the minimum wage to remain at a nearly unlivable level, we've deemed certain jobs not worthy enough to meet even our country's minimum standard of living. But anyway, and then that's why people need government assistance. It makes no sense.
They should just go out and inherit $1 billion.
Right. He writes, the most common objection to raising minimum wage is that it destroys jobs. A slew of recent studies have pointed out that although raising the minimum wage does increase earnings and reduce poverty, it has a limited, almost negligible effect on employment. Studies have also demonstrated that restoring the dignity of work through higher wages reduces worker turnover and increases productivity.
But other than that.
There. Hurrah. You want us to stop mooching and pay us a living wage.
Exactly.
All right, that's it for us. 58 minutes after the hour.
Hurrah.
Huh. Hal Sparks tomorrow? Is it Hump Days with Hal tomorrow?
Hump Days with Hal tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And again, this is our government's policy now. Anyone who's killed that's a male over 18 is considered a militant, whether they were or not. If you're visiting your uncle and the bomb goes off, you're counted as a militant, and that's how the Pentagon dishonestly keeps civilian casualties low. Then I, of course, is for imminent. The imminent threat part about it, well, if the government thinks that someone might be a threat in 10 years, they consider that imminent. It's a real abuse of language, and they can do it.
Right,
and
but they're
finally,
not saying, well... Okay, well, I don't think he used imminent. He used an active combatant.
No, our policy states that we're allowed to do this to people who are an imminent threat. But the Pentagon's policy, you can Google this. It's unfortunate. This is one of the things I'm pushing back on, is that anyone they think might be a threat down the line counts as imminent. Again, it's just like militant. Yes. They're abusing the language, and it's right. And then finally, it's the blowback, because every time a drone kills one America hater, it creates a couple hundred new America haters who are in the same neighborhood. And it isn't always the most efficient way to do it.
I asked this earlier. Why are we focused on the kind of weapon when obviously American bombs and regular warfare have killed how many civilians throughout history?
Listen, I am not disputing that this is the new normal. And whether liberals like it or not, this is how war is going to be prosecuted from now on. It's going to be keeping boots off the ground. It's going to be safer for American military lives.
We've had a lot of military people call in, you know.
But absolutely. But I'm just saying the program is still in its early years, and there's some things that could be done that could be more honest.
We had one soldier that said, I wish we'd had drones in Vietnam. And Jim actually made a better point. He said, I wish we didn't have Vietnam.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
would be a better solution.
Exactly.
Okay,
and at
46.
Some point,
46
killing
minutes,
these people isn't going to work anymore.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Friday was John Fugel saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. The
Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, we were saying Linda Carter,
yes.
Wonder Woman, is going to be on the show on Monday.
That's right. Smoking
and also,
hot still.
Yeah.
She's going to be co-hosting The Talk on CBS with Aisha Tyler on Tuesday.
Speaking of smoking hot. And Jim said...
What'd you say?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
All right.
RoboCop.
My friend sends me the headline, Colorado creates a special legislative marijuana committee. It's actually a joint committee.
Committee. So when you say it's a joint committee, great. It's like a double, I forget.
Okay. All right. John Finkelstein, one of our causes, you recall, Boston Sexy Liberal, Elizabeth Warren for Senate.
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Oh, awesome.
You mean the next president of the United States?
Hello, Elizabeth Warren. How awesome an ass-kicking is she being on the big banks, et cetera?
So great.
Really wonderful.
Somebody's got to do it.
Attorney General Eric Holder suggested Wednesday some financial institutions have become too large and are escaping full-fledged prosecution as a result. Who could have said that? Who could have said? I know. Future President Elizabeth Warren said that.
Wow, that'd be great.
Holder told
lawmakers make Republicans' heads explode.
Yeah.
He is concerned that some institutions have become so massive and influential that bringing criminal charges against them could imperil the financial system and the broader economy. His remarks come as a growing number of lawmakers had suggested big banks are effectively too big to jail.
Yeah, it's called blackmail.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but she was out front first saying that kind of
stuff,
right?
She was.
Because she's hot.
Okay. You meant that in a policy
way. Yeah, not in a Linda Carter kind of way.
Right, no.
That's right.
Okay.
Tara.
Actual liberals in Senate uses directly.
Tara in California, you're on with John and Company. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
First, I have a quick comment. I'm never sure if I get cut off because you don't like my commentary or I'm far too radical. But
that's
then
it.
After listening to Mary, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. But I want to make a quick comment that just to piggyback on Representative Chu's comments, the public plays a critical role here.
Right.
Just because we voted him in does not mean our job is over.
That's right.
The fight has just begun, in my opinion, and the last comment is, talk about a dream team. Clinton and...
Elizabeth Warren. How about, I know, how could we ever do that? Two women on a ticket? How awesome would that be?
God, would that be incredible? And the only other thing that would trump that would be Clinton, Obama, Michelle.
Oh, well, there you go. Still two chicks. All right.
Yeah. We did have a war with England to get away from inherited power as a government system. So remember that when it's Bush-Clinton next year. Jeb Bush was eating it this morning on Scarborough. Man, he is so not ready for what he's about to
face. Oh, really?
Why?
What was he doing?
He's trying to explain his incredible, epic flip-flop on immigration. More or less, he's on a book tour. He's saying, buy my book, but I don't mean anything in it anymore. The reality is, Jay, it's like, because they've realized that being more open to immigration reform tests better than sucking up to the Latino voting base.
Right.
And it's so going to be great to watch Jeb, whose whole strategy, and it's a strategy to redeem the family name, is to run as the electable moderate and show that Mitt Romney trying to be a right-winger didn't work. And let the Tea Party eat each other, and then it'll be a two-horse race between him and Chris Christie. The problem is, Chris Christie will eat Jeb Bush.
That's right.
Jeb is
not
ready.
He will literally eat. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, which lends to the question, why should I buy the piece of crap book then, if you don't stand by anything you just wrote in it a few months ago, right?
Exactly.
All right. Mike in Ohio.
Buy my book and ignore the content.
Yes. Mike in Ohio, you're on with John. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing
today?
Good.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm kind of switching gears and going back to the minimum wage issue.
Please.
I'm a small business owner, and I don't see the benefit in raising the minimum wage. Basically, what happens when the minimum wage gets raised for myself, I either have to find a way to make up that cost. I either have to raise prices, or I have to reevaluate everybody's hours and possibly cut people. I don't see the benefit.
Wait, say that one more time.
I'm sorry. When the minimum wage rises, what I have to do as a business owner is I either have to raise the prices, or I'm going to have to.